This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
And first of all, in our farm news on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 871.5, down 1.5. March wheat trading at 886.5, down 2. December corn now trading at 760, unchanged. March corn trading at 764, unchanged. January soybeans trading at 1443.5, down 5.75. March beans trading at 1431.5, down 6. The overnight crude oil market, 46 cents lower at 86.72. The Brent crude, 38 cents lower at 109.49. The December gold contract, $3 lower at $1,739.50. The U.S. dollar index, 0.069 higher at 80.471. Yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat ended at 873, up 24. March wheat ended at 888.5, up 24.75. May wheat ended at 895.25, up 24.75. December corn yesterday ended at 760, up 12.75. March corn ended at 764, up 12.75. And May corn ended at 761.5, up 12.75. January soybeans yesterday ended at 1449.25, up 24.5. March beans ended at 1437.5, up 25.25. May beans ended at 1414.25, up 22. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 439.30, up 76. January meal ended at 433.40, up 65. March meal 425.40, up 71. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.12, up 85. January oil 50.41, up 83. March oil 50.84, up 82. December oats yesterday ended at 373, up 4.25. March oats ended at 389.5, up 4.25. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kinder grain prices did end higher on Thursday afternoon. Wheat values again were supported by low crop conditions ratings for the U.S. wheat crop. Problems with the South American wheat crop also helped to boost prices. In northern and western Illinois, Kentucky grain dealers quoted Shell corn bids 13 cents stronger at 740 to 756. Soybean bids were up 24 to 29 cents at 1405 to 1431. In central Illinois, Kentucky grain dealers quoted Shell corn bids 13 to 18 cents higher at 753 to 769, while soybeans gained 24 to 27 cents at 1431 to 1444. In the southern part of the state, Shell corn bids were up 13 to 17 at 734 to 780. Soybean bids gained 21 to 24 at 1445 to 1464. And the wheat bids up 23 to 24 cents at 853 to 869. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids gained 22 to 24 cents at 1457 to 1469. Basis ended steady to 2 cents lower, range from 8 to 20 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered $7.60 per ton higher at $457.30 to $462.30. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 13 cents at $7.60 to $7.72, with basis ending steady at option to 12 over December, and the dried distiller grains offered at $2.50 to $2.65 per ton. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 13 cents higher at $7.56 to $7.65. Basis ended steady at 4 under to 5 over December. Soybean bids were up 22 to 24 cents at $14.42 to $14.49, with basis steady to 2 cents lower, range from 7 under to option January. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery gained 22 to 23 cents at 848 to 852, with basis ending steady to a penny lower at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 13 to 14 cents higher at 715 up to 773. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 24 cents with quotations at 1469 to 1473. Soft red winter wheat up 24 at 862 to 863, and the Milo ended 13 cents higher at 720 to 721. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. At country elevators to producers, January corn bids ranged from 743 up to 765. January soybean bids were at 1411 to 1430. In central Illinois, January corn bids ranged from 753 to 774. January soybean bids at 1431 to 1447. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 743 up to 789. January soybean bids 1431 to 1467. And the wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, the country elevators bids range from 834 up to 853. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 82.37, down a dime. February hogs ended at 86.72, down a quarter, and April hogs ended at 90.95, down 55. December cattle yesterday ended at 128.37, down 2. February cattle 132.32, down 7. April cattle 135.92, up 7. January feeder cattle yesterday 146.92, down 42. March feeders 149.90, down 20. April feeders 151.32, down 22. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with the closing livestock report. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Haul Report has barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ending $1.56 higher, a base price range of $73.01 to $78.50, and a weighted average of $75.11. The Illinois direct barrel and gilt market was steady to $2 higher today at $49 to $55. Receipts in Illinois, 12,458 head. Illinois direct slaughter sows traded mostly a dollar lower, with sows under 400 pounds, 49 to 52. 4 to 500 pounds, 49 to 55. Over 500 pounds, 54 to 58, a few up to 59. And over 550 pounds at $54 to $60. Estimated receipts in Illinois day, 1,350 head. The USDA National Carlot Pork Report has trading moderate to active, with mostly moderate demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.63 higher at $83.97. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday was 430,000. That's down 4,000 from a week ago and 2,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 863,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday, 122,000, down 8,000 from a week ago and a year ago. Week-to-date total, 243,000. The USDA estimated boxed beef cutout values were weak on choice and firm on select on light to moderate demand and moderate offerings. Choice carcasses, 77 cents lower, at 195.34. Select up 77 at 174.80. We had 147 fab loads and 48 trim loads. The choice to select spread today, $20.53. The opening report for the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville has estimated receipts of 320 head. Slaughter steers and heifers are trading 2 to 250 higher. Holstein steers, slaughter steers are $4 higher. Choice slaughter steers, 126 to 130. With select and choice, 117.25 to 125. The choice Holsteins at 117.25 to 121. Choice slaughter heifers, 126 to 128. Select and choice at 120 to 125. At the Arthur Sale Barn on Monday, their weekly hay auction featured receipts of 1,417 bales or 58.53 tons. Small squares traded mostly 25 to 50 cents higher. Large squares and large rounds, $10 to $20 higher. Wheat straw, mostly steady. Premium quality alfalfa, $6.50 to $9.50 with large squares, $100. Good quality large squares of alfalfa, $67.50. Utility quality small squares, $1.50. Premium quality alfalfa orchard grass, $7 with large squares, $98. Good quality at $5.50 with a large square, $70. Good quality alfalfa mixed grass hay, large squares, $45 to $65. Good quality orchard grass, $6 with a large round, $60. Good quality mixed grass hay, $3 to $5 per bale with large rounds up to $69. Wheat straw, good quality at $2.50 to $3. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 167 and a quarter, down three quarter. For block cheese, 182 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 177 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 2073. Here are the bids from Honk Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $7.50. For January, $7.56. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $7.50. And for January, $7.53. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $14.43. For January, $14.37. Wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $8.32. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.50. Corn at Scottville, $7.50. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.43. Wheat at Scottville, $8.32. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-40s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny and warmer, the high in the mid-50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain Saturday night. Low temperatures in the low 50s, high temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 21 degrees. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
This week at Capri IGA, take advantage of a meat sale served in family pack sizes. Get a family pack of center cut pork rib chops for $1.89 a pound, a gallon of Prairie Farms ice cream for $5.99, and Dole shredded lettuce, two bags, $3. For value and convenience, shop your hometown proud Capri IGA in Hillsboro, Greenville, and Litchfield.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Envirofoam of America. Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. He went over the weather conditions in the European Wheat Belt and in South America, and also discussed the problem of water levels on the main rivers of Mid-America.
Well, I think it's significant that as we go through the second day of this post-holiday week, that the grains are once again kind of separating themselves from the outside markets, and we're focusing a little bit more on supply and demand fundamentals, with more chatter of demand in the soybean complex and a pickup in global trade in wheat, while with more emphasis on shrinking global supplies, particularly focused this morning on the declining wheat crop ratings being the worst that we've ever seen for this time of year.
Now, is that wheat crop rating, is that just for the United States or worldwide?
A U.S.
Okay.
But we also have a short crop in Argentina and Australia, and we got problems in the former Soviet Union and Europe as well.
Are they having the drought problems that we have had over about the past 12, 14 months?
If you look at Russia, I saw one analyst, as I interact with some analysts around the world, who said it very similar. I don't think it's as bad as it is here. I think that, you know, they're just projecting, not knowing how intensely bad it is in U.S. plains. But it is significant. A significant portion of its crop is going into the winter dry. Even parts of Europe have some problems. It's not as prolific in Europe, but there are some pockets. When you add it together with a short crop in Argentina, Australia, and the drought in the United States, just has everybody concerned.
And that will drive up prices. How much more, do you think?
Well, at this point, I'm not optimistic that we're going to sustain this rally too significantly. I think longer term, we could very easily add a dollar to wheat futures and nearby wheat futures from where we are now, with Kansas City being the leader, and that's significant. In order to have a sustainable rally based on supply concerns, it generally needs to be driven by the largest wheat class, which is hard red winter wheat. And thus far, that's what we're seeing, is Kansas City take the lead. And I think that's going to continue to happen. But I think it'll probably garner more energy as we get deeper in the winter and closer to the spring.
We talked about it last week, about the water level conditions on the major rivers in the mid-United States, and there was a story earlier this week about locks in, I believe, South Dakota, maybe North Dakota, on the upper Missouri. They're going to leave them closed and not release so much water, and that will affect the grain trade down the road, won't it?
Exactly right. That's a big concern to exporters right now. Basically, last Friday, the Corps of Engineers began to withhold water to try to rebuild reservoir levels in the Dakotas, meaning less water moving down the Missouri, which impacts grain trade and barge flow down the Missouri. But Missouri is also a big source of water for the Mississippi. And with the drought going on in the Midwest and water levels being low anyway, there are some significant concerns that water levels will get low enough that a section between Cairo, Illinois, and St. Louis may have to close on the Mississippi because of rock pinnacles in the area, that the water would simply be too shallow for barges to pass over. Regardless, we're going to have lower drafts on those barges carrying less volume. It takes about 10 days for that decreased water flow to start impacting the Mississippi, and they have reopened some reservoir gates in Minnesota to try to allow more water down the Mississippi to try to compensate for the decreased water supply, but it'll take about a month for that water to get down to that region.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. In other farm news this morning, there is a right way to take a soil sample and a wrong way. Tide Gleason files this report on a new standard for an old standby.
The University of Illinois has long recommended farms be soil tested every 4 years. It helps producers understand the fertility of the land and what needs to be done to maintain and manage that fertility. The old standard for taking a test was to simply pull a spade full of dirt about 7 inches deep. That hasn't worked for a while, for about as long as the Mopar plow has been out of fashion. With a plow, ensured nutrients applied on the soil surface were mixed pretty evenly into the soil. No-till, conservation tillage, and strip-till have mostly eliminated that mixing process, says Fabian Fernandez from the University of Illinois. Now, the soil fertility specialist says it is a reason the way soil samples are taken has changed.
That's one of them. The other one is if you're banding the fertilizer, then you start to create these patterns of high and low fertility as you move across the field. When that happens, either one of these happens, you have to be really conscious of how you take a soil sample so that it will represent the fertility of that field.
So a banded fertilizer program, even a broadcast fertilizer program, requires soil samples be gathered in a much more precise way than in the past. 7 inches? It's not deep enough anymore, and a spade just won't do the job accurately enough.
It's not only the depth, but it is making sure that you represent each layer of that soil uniformly. If you use a spade, you need to make sure that typically what happens is we end up having a triangle, basically, when you take a soil sample with a spade, which will be wider on the surface and smaller in the subsurface. So the best option is to use a core, which will be a uniform diameter across.
The core should be 8 inches deep. The bottom end of the core should be low enough to compensate for the higher concentration of soil nutrients closer to the soil surface. Other than taking an 8-inch core, the rest of the soil sampling process is pretty much as usual, unless the fertilizer application has been banded. That one's a complete soil sampling game changer.
And when you're doing a subsurface band, you need to make sure that typically people are doing it between 6 and 8 inches. If you go 8 inches and you only take a 7-inch core, you will miss that fertilizer band, which basically will result in lower values than the actual. We are doing some work right now in trying to figure out how to take a soil sample that will represent the fertility of the field as a whole with a 6-inch depth application for this band. And what we are finding is that you need to, for every sample that you take in the fertilizer band, you need to take 2 or 3 samples outside of the band in the composite that you make in order to represent that fertility.
If you're keeping track, that means those using subsurface banding for the fertilization program must pull 6-inch deep cores, not 8 inches deep. And for every sample site, 1 core in the band and 2 to 3 outside of the band. Here's one other note from Fabian Fernandez on soil fertility. He says there is no proof over many years and many trials that crops respond differently to banded fertilizer applications when compared to broadcast applications. It's just a lot more expensive to put fertilizer in a subsurface band. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Right now, we'll give you the cost of production report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture. We join Kent McFarland.
This week, anhydrous ammonia was offered at $8.45 to $9.11, averaging $8.69.40. That's $4.22 per ton higher. 46-0 urea unchanged at $5.25 to $6.00, averaging $5.65. 28% liquid nitrogen spread at $3.80 to $4.00, averaging $3.91.25 a ton higher. Diammonium phosphate $6.00 to $6.75, averaging $6.31.33, up $1.56. Monoammonium phosphate $6.20 to $6.88. Averaging $6.50.60, that's down $6. Potash $5.70 to $6.27, averaging $5.99.87, 80 cents per ton higher. Farm diesel fuel delivered to the farm in 1,000-gallon quantities at $3.61 to $3.80, averaging $3.72.04 per gallon higher. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
In other farm news, President Obama and the Federal Emergency Management Agency have received a request for a presidential declaration of emergency. The request came from the American Waterways Operators, National Waterways Conference, Waterways Council Incorporated, and 15 other national organizations who are seeking immediate assistance in averting an economic catastrophe in the heartland of the United States. The problem is the worsening situation on the Mississippi River. Near historic low water levels have restricted barge traffic on the river since the summer. The letter notes that the crisis was created by this year's drought conditions, but says it will come to a head now that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has begun to implement plans to reduce the release of water to the Mississippi from dams on the upper Missouri River. The groups are not only asking the president to declare an emergency, but also to direct the Corps to remove rock pinnacles that are impairing the flow of commerce by mid-December and to release as much water as necessary from the Missouri River reservoirs to preserve a 9-foot channel on the Mississippi to sustain commercial navigation. For the cattle industry, National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Colin Woodall, says the denial of the renewable fuel standard waiver by the EPA is an indicator of things to come. He expects cattle producers will soon see guidance on the Clean Water Act and the Dust Rule, along with other potentially burdensome regulations. Woodall also expects other important priorities for cattlemen and women will be more difficult to achieve, as the gridlock seen the past 2 years in the House and Senate will likely continue. According to Mr. Woodall, that means there won't be an opportunity to address big-ticket items like the estate tax or the Endangered Species Act reform for the next several years. He believes those are completely off the table. Online registration for the Commodity Classic is now open. Corn, soybean, and wheat growers attending the 18th annual Commodity Classic in Kissimmee, Florida, will witness innovation and gather information that will grow their profitability potential and change the way they farm. Commodity Classic co-chair Bob Wirth says the event is all about farmers, what they want, what they're doing, and the policies they need. He says the show has the best and newest of what the industry is presenting to farmers. Growers can visit www.commodityclassic.com for more information and to register. Register before January 20th. To take advantage of the best rates. Once again, www.commodityclassic.com. And once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat now trading at 871, down 2. March wheat trading at 886 and 3 quarter, down 1 and 3 quarter. December corn trading at 760, unchanged. March corn trading at 764 and a quarter, up a quarter. January soybeans trading at 1444 and a half, down 4 3/4. March beans trading at 1432 and a half, and that's down a nickel. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets from Sorrell's Farm Supply in Raymond this morning at 9:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by EnviroFoam of America.